This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab your coffee and join Marlena Curtis right now for Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between with MK Spices here on Access Radio Taranaki.
Tēnā koutou katoa. Nā mai hara mai to Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between. I'm your host, Marlena Curtis from MK Spice. There we go, everybody knows that. And in the studio with me today, I have this wonderful, talented lady who was introduced to me by my branding manager, Catherine from the Brand Depot. A little quick shout out there for you, Catherine. And she said to me, you know what? This photographer knows food. She knows how to shoot food. She's absolutely stunning. You won't have to. She'll talk and ask you 1,000 questions. I thought, yeah. Anywho, it was 2 million questions. But the reason being for that, I will let Emma talk in a sec. The reason being for that is because she's a perfectionist. Her work looks stunning. I mean, I'm not being funny, right? But how can you make an egg roll? Literally, it's a piece of bread with some egg in it. How can you make that look sexy? Ask Emma. A pie, the British pie, has to be the most ugliest thing. I'm now speaking in Cockney. Ugliest thing I've ever seen. Looks like it makes your mouth water. So then you have to ask. It's a gift, a passion, and a true love for an art AI would like to think is dying. It is not. Okay? It is definitely not dying. It is an art form that's growing. And it's just like the law, really. When you think about the law, people and doctors and surgeons specializing, photography is the same. It's very rare you see a fashion photographer who wants to shoot an egg. And a person who shoots an egg wants to do fashion. It's because their passion is in different areas. And I think that's fantastic. So with no further ado, I will introduce you to Emma Boyd. And first of all, I'd like to thank you for raising our next generation, because that's a very hard job, those of us who have done it or going through it. That's the first thing. And the second thing of all, welcome you on to Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between. I've had personal experience with you, and I know you've worked with some big name people out there, and people like to think that mine's a big name. Not really. It's a long name. It can be difficult to pronounce, but that's about it. So, Emma, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions. First of all, about coffee. Yes. What's your favourite?
Oh, I love a long black with a bit of cream.
That sounds good.
It's a guilty pleasure.
Don't feel guilty about drinking coffee, my darling. It's just... I don't know what it does for you, but for me, it just lifts my spirits. I know it's a drug. I really don't care. It has to be the lesser drug that's out there. Coffee, cocaine, don't get those mixed up, people. I've heard the other one is not so great. And do you find that coffee brings you together with friends, whether it's at home, whether you go out to cafes? Do you feel that the culture, especially now in New Zealand, has changed over the last few years?
Yeah, I think so. I'm quite ritualistic about my coffee drinking. I grind the beans. I buy, beans, and I've got a little handheld grinder. And I think it just helps you to slow down and connect, and with your environment, with whatever is there around you. And then I have a little espresso maker. So I do it like that. I add a bit of mushroom powder in there. And then I actually like to go outside and connect with the day. Start the day slowly.
How beautiful is that?
Thank Mother Nature for
everything
that I have. My children, my home, my garden, my beautiful clients.
How wonderful.
Or if I ever go out and have one, actually, I will go to Lit the Shed in Inglewood. Celine runs a beautiful little cafe there.
True local.
And yes, I love going there. And yeah, connecting with my community, actually. I'm not necessarily meeting anyone there, but I'm saying hello to people as they come in. I often go with my dog, and she's a real connector, And so, yeah, I think it's more for me about connecting with environment. Yeah.
Can we just give it a little shout out? for the shed. What is it actually called and who's the owner? Give it a little nice shout out.
So Celine, I think it's Celine Carter, but Celine, she's a beautiful soul. And so it's, I think it's the Shed on 37, she calls it. It's behind the railway station in Inglewood. And it's surrounded by gardens, which she plants out with beautiful flowers that she sells.
She's planted.
Yeah, yeah, she's done an amazing job. And she has secondhand clothes. People come in and sell things at her shop too.
No.
There are plants and eggs and I didn't know
this place existed.
It's so well
I will definitely take a visit out there.
And her food is delicious. And she has a really great selection of the most incredible looking sweet treats. Little egg rolls or pies or sandwiches. She's a real gem.
What time does she open and close?
I think pretty early actually. I would like to make a guess, but I don't want to put people
wrong.
No,
we can go online. Google will tell us. Yes, either they tell us the truth or it's a lie, but we'll find out some way or another. That's one good thing for AI, I guess. And the funny thing is Google wasn't called AI. It was just called technology, right?
Yes.
But now you've got a little AI up there. But in any event, so that. Thank you for sharing that. Because I didn't even know this shed existed. Because I think, I don't know about you, but most people stick to their areas. And then there's certain areas in the CBD that I stick to as well. Like once I go in and the baristas are happy to be there,
yes,
and they make consistently good coffee, yes, whoever is on, and there's a smile.
Yes.
Otherwise, obviously you don't want me there.
Yes.
I tend to go to just three places, I'm not going to give them a shout out today. Yeah. Sorry, ladies, but I might give Elixir a shout out this morning because I was just there and they're just gorgeous and my coffee's always amazing. And I just love blessing people. But I know that's my thing for my life, which is wonderful.
Yes.
So getting on to your amazing journey with photography, the first question is, well, it's like a three part, so you're going to be talking for a little while here.
Mm-hmm.
First part, Emma, is why? Second part is how?
Yes, why photography?
Yes.
I think it's something I started doing quite young. I was really blessed in that when I was 13, I was uprooted. So I grew up in Auckland until that stage. And then my family moved to a country called Brunei. My dad was a teacher there, and my mum a pharmacist in the Sultan's Brothers Hospital. But we would travel a lot, so blessed to travel a lot through Asia. Countries like Thailand, Myanmar, which was just the most incredible experience. And my mum was a keen photographer, and so I had a camera too, and I guess it began there. And I think too, I looking back, design and styling interested me too, and I enjoyed doing, you know, I remember, you know, arranging my room just so, and taking great pleasure from that. And I think you can do that through your camera too, right? Composition and how you see and frame the world. And so it began there. And then, would you like the long version or the short version?
Long, please, my darling, because we are very interested about this. And it sounds so interesting. I did not know that about you, that you traveled, you see? So
yes.
People are learning new things all the time.
Yes. Okay, well, So another component of that, or being in Brunei, what that introduced me to as well was we lived on it's called a simpang in Malay, but a compound, and there were other expatriate families that lived there with us, and also locals, which was really beautiful too. And one of the families were from England, and they shared with me copies of the River Cafe cookbook, the famous River Cafe in London on the River Thames. And so I would pour over these cookbooks as a teen and select the recipes that I wanted to cook. And then I'd go to the markets with my mum. You know, there were fish markets that were like these multi-level buildings with tiled floors and walls, you know, so all the blood and guts could be washed away and onto the drains. And would visit and would buy this beauty, you know, like there were, you know, crabs and fish of all different colours and shapes and size. It was just incredible. So I would buy what we needed from the fish market, then we'd go to the fruit and veggie market where you could actually buy a live chicken that they'd tie by the feet and put a handle on, and you could, you know, take it off home and dispense to it there. So I would buy these beautiful fruit and vegetables, and then I'd go home and spend hours preparing these meals from the River Cafe cookbook, you know, making fresh pasta and hanging it between broomsticks, you know, between chairs to dry. And then I'd cook it all and serve it to my parents and their friends. And so I guess, you know, you asked about photography, and so there's kind of the photography and then the food coming in. And then when I finished high school, I thought I'd be an architect. So I studied at Auckland Uni just for a year and a half, and then I actually gave it up. And thought I'd dabble in the world of food and cooking, you know, from you know, actually going into restaurants and cooking. And I was lucky enough to get a job in the kitchen at the Esplanade Hotel in Devonport. I grew up in Devonport. And so I was just I think I was a larder chef, so just doing the salad prep and dessert prep. And it was amazing because I got a taste of what it was like to live and breathe, you know, being a chef. And I discovered that it wasn't for me. I felt really disconnected from my family. You know, I was at work at night when they were at home, and friends and stuff. And so, and I wanted to explore photography more. And so I looked into what courses I could do. And there was a photographic design course in Wellington at Massey University. And I got a little chicken, actually. In the end, I thought, maybe I won't study it. What if I end up selling cameras or developing film? I mean, this is showing my age now, right? But instead, I chose to study.
Also, can I just stop you there?
Yes.
Because, you know, there's a generation that probably didn't even understand what you said about developing your own. So we'll talk a little bit about that later on.
Yes.
Because that is an art. I did my first degree in Brighton, and it was performing arts, visual and performing arts. And I didn't class myself as a visual artist, but that's another story for another day. And we had to do everything. I wasn't a fan of the darkroom.
Yeah, okay.
I have to say that.
Okay.
So that's
okay,
an art form right there.
Yes.
So sorry to interrupt you, but just big up to you.
Thank
Fantastic.
You. Yes,
because
yes.
It's... We're losing a lot of structure for our photographic representations. So when you go to, people don't understand that when you take even photos from your phone, yes, and you go to a provider that we used to have, the wonderful Roger French, yes, the photos are just like what I would say the old days, like it's been in a dark room, it's been processed. But now that's gone, well, in New Plymouth anyway, and it's replaced with you go in and you've got this little thing, and it doesn't come out the same. I've tried that many times. I'm so disappointed.
Yeah.
But I will ask you later where I can go to get quality photos, because I really don't like what I'm seeing, and that's sad.
Yes.
But please proceed.
So I ended up choosing instead to study industrial design at Massey University in Wellington. And I did as many photography papers as I could at the same time, which was awesome. I mean, it was great because I think doing an industrial design degree gives you so many different skills, a kind of critical thinking and human-centered design. And I loved it. It was wonderful. And I was incredibly fortunate. I was one of the few people that got a job out the other end. So I worked for Fisher & Paykel for 7 years as an industrial designer up in Auckland, designing fridges and washing machines and things for them, or components of.
That's when they were good.
And I would I'd cook and take lots of food into the studio. And one day one of the senior designers said, I think we should start a food blog. And it was back in 2010 when food blogs were really just emerging. It was a new... thing. And so, and it was cool too, because we started the food blog at the same time that F&P had gotten a massive design and brand studio to rebrand Fisher & Paykel. And so, you know, I mean, a silver box or a white box is not hugely emotive, right? Whereas when we could incorporate the food side of things into it, that suddenly gave it a whole new life and a different element. And so we were, writing. So I was being paid to write recipes and style and photograph food. And so there was a team of us actually between Auckland and Dunedin who worked collaboratively, you know, producing X number of posts a month. And it was a really cool process. Yeah. So why photography? I mean, I guess that's how I got there. I think too, having that design, I think my work can be quite designed, you know, and kind of considered in terms of composition and white space, and I think I get that from, you know, my background.
There you go.
In design.
Because your work is very clean.
Yeah.
If I was doing it, it'd be a hot mess because I'm a the other type of artist. So I'm not graphics. I'm fine art. I'm fine art. We seem to put everything but the kitchen sink into the. And my first logo was just a hot mess. That's why you have brand designers out there. That's why we have people like you out there that can say to us, well, actually, Marlena, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel really fortunate too that I was part of a team. So our team wasn't just industrial design, it was industrial design and brand. And just, you know, kind of being in that environment and absorbing what I did adds another strength to my work, I think, in terms of that understanding of brand and that understanding of the importance of capturing someone's product or, you know, be it food or otherwise, or even themselves, you know, in a way that adds and enhances and makes their brand shine, you know, and speaks to their brand values, you know.
Just to speak on that as well, your photos for the Taranaki Hamper, which is full of award-winning artists and producers as myself and Blue Petal Farm and Lever F Creations, you made it look so good that when people got the hamper, they said it doesn't look like the photo. No. And I'm like, well...
blame Emma.
And I looked at it and went, oh my, and it was stunning, and it's a photo, and I'm thinking, yeah, but I don't know how to answer that. So no. You know, it's maybe people have to come to you and say, you know what, can you just make it a little bit more like it,
let's tone it down a bit.
But the thing is, you only shot the what you had. It wasn't like you superimposed anything onto it. Mm. And that's what I'm saying with your craft, your talent that you have. I haven't met another food photographer at your level at all. I'm sorry, I have not. And I tell you this because I travel all over the world, as you know, I'm always traveling. And I see food photos and I'm thinking, why in God's green earth would you put that up for food? It actually makes you want to do the opposite.
Yes.
It's not inviting, it's actually repelling. And I don't understand, are they, well, you can't, you know, that. Yeah, it's just, there's just no words to describe something that's shot so badly and they're so proud of it.
Yes.
I don't understand. Yes. And then they wonder why there's nobody in the restaurant.
Yes, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
It looks like botulism up there.
Yeah, and it's damaging, right?
It is damaging.
If you get that wrong.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Now, you've told us, it's so interesting, because I want to go back to the Fisher & Paykel, because back in the day when I first arrived here, 1997, so I would have got the Fisher & Paykels a few years later. As far as I'm aware, those machines are still going, because we sold them because we were leaving the country.
Right.
But the later versions, unfortunately, are not the same. Is that because... the design systems, are they still designed in New Zealand, or you don't know anymore?
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, I'm, you know, quite far removed from it now. It's been
many years.
But a lot of it did go offshore, and F&P was bought by Haier in China. So it, you know,
surprise,
things changed. You know, which is a sad story for a lot of manufacturing
surprise.
Here in New Zealand.
You know, the people are moaning about not having jobs, but if you send everything away, that's unless they follow that, where are the jobs coming from? But that's another story for another day.
Yeah,
you have created work for yourself. Now that's not easy. So you're a solopreneur.
I am.
You are a mum.
Yes.
I'm not sure what else is going on back there, but that doesn't. You know, you want to. Volunteer that's fine, and running a house, because running a house, I'm not being funny, you know, when your children first leave home, we make it look easy, incredibly easy, yeah?
Mm.
Oh, the kitchen's a mess, and I said, yeah, but welcome to my life when you were there. And then you wondered why I said, clean it up. Yeah? My kids were complaining, oh, this 18-year-old moved in and they didn't know how to clean. I said, yes, because the parents did everything for them and that's not good,
But
you are doing so many jobs. As Oprah Winfrey said, she tried the dinner once. You know how we have to do the breakfast, dinner, lunch, and she goes, she tried it once, and she goes, I don't know how you people do it.
Oh, it's over 50,000
meals. And then you have to make it so it looks presentable, so they want to eat it. Otherwise, it's a hot mess. They don't want to eat a hot mess. And I didn't go with the, oh, I don't eat this, I don't know. I was very fortunate. I only had one child that couldn't eat fish.
Mm-hmm.
And now she can't eat fish, dairy, and a whole bunch of stuff.
Wow.
But at the time when she was growing up, that's the only thing she couldn't eat. Mm-hmm. But everything else she could eat.
Yes.
You are exceptional. And we're so blessed to have you in Taranaki, because you could be living anywhere in the world, obviously, and you've chosen our beautiful slice of paradise, as we like to call it.
Mm-hmm.
We are coming to the end of the show, so I am going to say thank you so much, Emma Boyd. Thank you for your talent. Thank you for being here. We are truly blessed, and I'm personally grateful for your talent to help me grow my business to award-winning Aotearoa business. So thank you very much, Emma. Thank you for coming on board today.
Well, thank you for having me here. I'm grateful too. Yeah.
You're very welcome. So it's over and out from Marlena Curtis, MK Spice, the rather nice. Matua. Till next time.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.